For those of you who have given names to be added to the prayer list, I just want you to know and be assured I will take those names with me and I'll be praying for them throughout this week. At this time, I ask that you please join me and pray with me as we prepare for the message. Gracious and eternal God, I thank you for this opportunity to stand before your people. I pray that I decrease and you increase. Allow the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be acceptable in thy sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. Gracious God, you are a loving God, and I just pray and I ask that as your word go forth, that it's etched into our hearts, manifested into our lives, and that we are forever changed. And I pray this all in Jesus' mighty and matchless name. And all God's people join in and say, amen. Today's sermon is called Let It Go. This is actually part two of last week's sermon. And the question is, do you want to be made whole? Our scripture reading comes from John, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 9, and we'll read that in a little bit. But I just kind of want to do a little introduction to this message and ask you a question. Have you ever been stuck between a rock and a hard place? So most of us have been stuck between a rock and a hard place. There are some television commercials that show people who are between a rock and a hard place. These people are stuck between doing something new and continuing to do what they've always done. I'm not promoting what they are selling, but these commercials show people who refuse to change because they got stuck in their old ways. People who do the same old thing looking for a different result. I ask that you just divert your attention to the screen and watch this.
Hey. Hi. How are you? Good evening. Whew. So, what's the plan?
You jump in there, the drought ends, and then the crops grow.
Everyone's happy.
Right. Okay. What if instead we built some sort of system that would get the water from the river down to the fields? Like with tubes or something?
A gravity-driven water distribution network.
Yes! Huh?
You got it here?
No.
Oh. Well, everybody walked all the way up here, so...
Go on! Get on with it!
In you go.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I liked him.
You like everyone.
Well, I'm a people person.
Eventually, somebody realizes there's a better way to do things. Like simple mobile plans with no added taxes or fees and no...
No, it was three different ones.
Go on!
Don't stop!
You're hungry!
Yeah, go on, Joey!
Think of the pineapples!
Gotta be juicy!
How about we, you know, build something that stays on top of the water, that we could sit in to get there and to get back? That we could all go! I could put the pineapples in it! You want pineapples? I'll fill it with pineapples.
No.
Okay.
You got this.
Yep.
Go on, Joey.
You can do it, Joey. 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 Joey.
Right, Wayne, you're up next.
Wayne.
He's gonna feel that in the morning. Eventually, somebody realizes there's a better way to do things, like.
Could have sworn the treasure was right here.
I found something.
Oh, that's what that symbol meant.
You know, instead of hiding our money, it'd be better if there was a place that'll hold it for you, safely. Oh, you could take little bits out when you wanted.
How would they know it's yours?
Eventually, somebody has a better idea.
Oh, you could have a little card with your name on it.
Everyone can have secret passwords.
I love secrets.
Like a mobile server.
You see how being stuck sometimes gets you nowhere. Has there ever been a time in your life when you've been stuck? Sometimes changes are made or sometimes it's introduced, but the things in life happen and we revert back to old patterns of behavior. But that's nothing new. As a matter of fact, the scripture that was read into your hearing earlier was written by John in an attempt to get people unstuck from returning to old patterns of behavior after hearing false teachers denying the full deity and humanity of Christ. But the book of 1 John reaffirms the core Christianity values. They exhibit practice, live out the sound doctrine, obedience, and love that characterize all Christians elsewhere, or else we are not true Christians. Either we let go of our old ways of doing things, or we do what God says, or we remain stuck trying to do things our own way. It's amazing to me that when we are broken, it's hard to imagine a better way, the way of being complete or whole. Yet, that is where Jesus wants us to be. He wants us to be complete. He wants us to be whole. He wants us to be complete. Somebody say complete.
Complete.
Jesus calls us into fullness of life with him. One of the best examples I found to demonstrate this aspect is found in the book of John, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 9. So please turn with me in your Bibles to John, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 9. John, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 9. And I ask that you listen to these words in this passage of Scripture as I read them into your hearing. And I'll be reading them into your hearing from the New King James Translation. When you have it, let me know you have it by saying amen. Okay, so for the three people who found it, follow along with me as I read. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. Somebody say five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the move of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man there who had an infirmity for 38 years. Somebody say 38 years. Now, I just want to pause right there before I continue to read this. You know, 38 years is a long time to be sick. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in this condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made whole?" Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor." Hey, I know y'all hate to do that, but I just want to make sure you're awake. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, do you want to be made whole?" Some translations say, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And this was the Sabbath. If you've ever had a loved one trapped in an addiction, you know that unless there is a desire to be released from the vice that is squeezing the life out of them, little will change. I had a friend whose history included a long series of bad choices, from poor nutrition to extreme partying to repeated engagement in stressful, unhealthy activities. All this has caused deterioration to his body and soul. He encounters health scares and has received strong words from his doctor. After receiving warning, he says that he'll make these radical changes, but unfortunately, he returns to his old patterns of behavior and does things as usual. The fact is, he does not truly want anything different. It appears as if he wants his unhealthy lifestyle more than he wants to be whole. But I cannot cast stones, because although I don't engage in the activities that he does, at times I see this unproductive pattern in my own life story. And I am almost sure that if you would survey and you were to take a moment and examine your own life, you could find areas of your own story that would be true for you as well. Truth is that we are. Truth is that if we are to be whole, whether health for our body, renewing of our mind, refreshing of our soul, or restoring of broken relationships in our family, or renewed passion for the things of God, then we must want to be made whole. We must want it, desire it, hunger for it, or thirst for it. We must nurture our cravings for God and goodness. The deep desires are essential for Christian life. In our passage, sometime after he stays in Galilee, Jesus travels back to the city of Jerusalem. John sets the scene and says, after these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. During this time, the Jewish calendar contained three high holy days. The first one was Passover. The second one was the week of feasts, better known as Pentecost. And the third one was the Feast of Tabernacles. It was common and expected for the devout Jews living in and around the area of Jerusalem to attend all these special days. But those who lived further than 16 miles away from Jerusalem, they were only expected to attend at least one of the feasts each year. Some theologians believe that since Jesus was a devout Jew, and like other devout Jews, he made the pilgrimage to the holy city as often as possible to observe the feast days. Now, when Jesus got to Jerusalem, he entered the city by the sheep gate and went to the pool of Bethesda nearby. The sheep gate, Bethesda in Greek, means house of mercy. Somebody say house of mercy. This signifies what was about to take place, because whenever Jesus shows up to a place, truly grace and mercy will follow. Study of this passage reveals that the shepherd will drive their sheep into Jerusalem through the sheep gate on over to the right side of the pool and of Bethesda, where they would wash them before they would take them to the place to be sacrificed. The pool of the Bethesda was separated by a wall in the middle, creating two bodies of water. The sheep were washed at one end of the pool, and the people bathed in the other end of the pool. Okay, I saw some noses kind of turn up there. But around the sides of the pool where people gathered and bathed, there were five porches or porticos. Porticos were covered by walkways, with a roof being supported by the columns. It was under the porticos where the sick people gathered in hopes of being healed. Scripture says, in these lay a great multitude of those with infirmities, sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for something to happen that will change their situation forever. Can you imagine the agony of waiting and wanting, seeing what you wanted just out of your reach, seeing that something could change your life forever, but it was just out of your grasp, seeing the solution to your problems, but just not quite being able to reach it, struggling to reach that thing that will make a difference in your life, but it's just out of your reach. Struggling to make a change in life, but not quite being able to get there. People struggling. I'm not going down that path anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to say that anymore. I'm not going to let them get under my skin anymore. I'm not going to let them get under my skin anymore. I'm not going to let them get under my skin anymore. They are not going to stress me out anymore. Struggling to change, but things remaining the same. Nurturing the sickness and losing focus on the one who heals. Concentrating on the problem instead of focusing on the solution. I don't know about you, but for me, that was good right there. A light bulb should have just went off. How sometimes we find ourselves in those stuck situations. This man was sick for a long time, and instead of surrounding himself with people who could help, he surrounded himself with people who were just like him. Sick people, comforting sick people. There's an old saying that says, misery loves company. This sick man surrounded himself with people who were just as sick as he was. This is a development of dysfunction. This man gravitated to those who were just as sick as he was, and they created their own culture, a culture of sick folks. Okay, nobody laughed at my joke. Each hoping to get unstuck, yet doing the same old thing, a community of sick folks. The sick man reflected the company in which he was keeping. He gravitated to a place where he felt accepted. He was sick, so he surrounded himself with other sick people. You've heard the saying, birds of a feather flock together. Jesus asked him the question, do you want to be made whole? What strikes me about the man's response is that immediately, instead of him shouting yes, he replied, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. I don't know about you, but see, I like to watch this show called Judge Judy, and Judge Judy is very specific when she asks the question. When she asks you a question and you veer off and you don't answer the question like she asked you the question, she always divert your attention back to the question in which she asked you. That's not what I asked you, sir. Is this simple, yes or no? Are you stupid? Can you not get it? You know, Judge Judy has a quick tongue and a sharp mouth, and she always has a way of telling you. She asked you a specific question, but you didn't answer the question that I asked. It is true that some people, some sick people, actually prefer their present condition as opposed to being made whole. Being made whole is connected with responsibility, and who wants responsibility, right? One can't become changed in an area that they have become comfortable with. Let me say that again. A person cannot become changed in an area they have become comfortable with. A person cannot be changed in an area they have become comfortable with. That was good. He was doing the same old thing, yet expecting a different result. When I looked that up in the dictionary, the word comes to mind and it says that's insanity. Yet we do it all the time. We eat that extra piece of pie and we still want to lose weight. Oh, I'm sorry. This sick man was doing the same old thing day after day, lying at the pool waiting for the stirring of the water, yet he didn't have anyone to help him to get in, expecting a different result. He can't become changed in the area he has become comfortable with. There is little hope in this man's sad reply. He has lost all anticipation. He has lost all hope that anyone might help him. Decades of pain dashed with displacement of possibility brought him to a place where all he could do was be hopeless. He looked at his hopeless state, a bleak future. There are many reasons why we find it difficult in our brokenness to stay connected with the desire for change. Our desire for something more, to hope for, to live with, the deep desire for healing can itself be an excruciating act. It is painful to hold on to our desires for friendship when we lack of it only excruciate our aching loneliness. It is painful to say or to accentuate to our hope to be free of anger and fear or self-righteousness when it means we must dismantle our sinful behaviors or reckon with the lies that we've employed to manage our lives. We often abandon our desire for wholeness because we are deeply afraid of change. While the reality of our lives may be far less than we have expected, over time, we make a certain kind of compromise with our brokenness. It becomes what we know. It becomes familiar to us. It's a fearful thing to surrender the security of the present, no matter how disappointing the pain may be, for the uncertainty of the future. So yet, we stay stuck. We hold on to the familiar. When it comes to being made whole, physically or otherwise, the familiar is not the answer. When it comes to being made whole, the familiar is not necessarily a virtue. Too often, we simply repeat misinformation, rehearse old prejudices, practice tired patterns of behavior, and replay thoughts and opinions formed years ago without first checking to see if they are still valid, or more importantly, if they serve the cause for making us healthy or whole. Jesus asks today, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to experience life in its abundance? If your answer is yes, it's time to let it go. Maybe, just maybe, it's time to try something new. We must try a new approach, dare to alter our routine, dare to change one's diet, Now, when I talk about diet, I'm not necessarily just talking about food. I'm talking about the things that we take in, because the things that we take in have a tendency to impact who we are. Dare to shift one's thinking. Out with the old and in with the new. New ways of thinking. Thinking God's way. Cultivate new relationships. Cultivate new friendships. Break old habits. Learn new techniques for relating to one another more effectively. Getting out of one's comfort zone and into God's comfort zone. Getting out of one's comfort zone into God's zone. See, our comfort zone keeps us stuck. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor. See, that's getting out your comfort zone. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Get out of the comfort zone. Yeah, I know that was a little hard for you. So my question to you today is, do you want to be made whole? Because if you do, it's time to let it go. Let go of whatever has been keeping you stuck by the pool. You might have to step out of the comfort zone and take a leap of faith and venture out into the unknown. What's standing in your way? What sort of things do you need to change in order to be whole? Are there things you need to let go of? Are you holding on to anger? Nursing some injustice or hurt that someone did to you years ago? Are you holding on to a grudge? Are you holding on to grief? Are you looking back to something or someone you once held dear in the past but now has become obsolete? Perhaps you're holding on to a destructive habit, wanting to be healthy and whole, but not willing to stop smoking, not willing to stop drinking or eating your troubles away. Jesus told the man to arise, take up his mat, and walk. Without hesitation, immediately the man was made well, and he took up his mat and walked. The good news is Jesus came into the world that we may have life and have it more abundantly. There's a hymn that says, there is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There's a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. There's a balm in Gilead, but I tell you that the balm is here today and it's available to you. That balm is Jesus Christ and he is here. So the question is, do you want to be made whole? Some may fear what they do not understand. Some may have their own reasons for not believing in the promises. Some simply fear losing control, but Jesus is asking, do you want to be made whole? If your answer is yes, come to Jesus for whatever you need. Let it go. It's time to let go and let God. We must relinquish the idea and admit that we need to be healed and that our own efforts have made a mess of things. We must allow ourselves to embrace God's love. We must face the truth of how desperately we long for it. To be made whole, we must grow discontent with our misery and want something from the Lord. Let go, pick up your mat, and walk. Step into the fullness God intends. We must be awake to him as well as to our pain and everything in us and in our world that is not well. We must allow the tears and the joy that the promises of God to resurrect the places in our hearts that have grown cold. When Jesus speaks, Hope is always kindled. The heart is stirred. After the sick man's disheartening reply, Jesus looked at him in his eyes and pushed aside the gloom and spoke with authority. Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. The man had a choice. To be well required, it required obedience. Somebody shout obedience. And willing to embrace the joy and the healing Jesus offered. The man had to move and to take a risk. And that is what he did. This man was not able to stand on his leg for 38 long years. And when Jesus told him to rise, pick up your mat and walk, he hopped up on his feet. He grabbed his mat and he walked. I can imagine that at the shock of him being able to stand on his own legs, that this man had a little jig in his step. He picked up his mat and he walked. When Jesus offers us life, we must respond and stand up. All we have to do is say yes. All we have to do is say yes. All we have to do is to decide we want it more than we want to be stuck. Do you want to be made whole? Then let it go. Lay aside every weight that is keeping you stuck. I want to close with this. Maybe you feel stuck onto portico, not knowing what or how God wants to use you. Regardless as to where or how you might feel, God wants you to know that he loves you, he is with you, and he wants you to know that he has a plan for you. I heard a story about a man who was traveling by foot to a far-off town. As the sun was setting, the man had trouble seeing the things on the road ahead of him. He fell into a pit that he was unable to get himself out of. Many people came along and they saw him struggling in this pit, and they had their own thoughts and their own opinions. The sensitive person said, "I feel for you down there in that pit." The reflective person said, "It's logical that someone would have fallen into the pit." The aesthetic person said, "I can give you some ideas of how to decorate your pit." The judgmental person said, "Only bad people fall into the pit." The analytical person said, "Help me measure out the depth of your pit." The curious person said, "Tell me how you ended up falling into the pit." The perfectionist said, "I believe you deserve the pit." The evaluator said, "Tell me, are you paying taxes on that pit?" The self-pitying person said, "You need to see my pit." The meditationist said, "Just relax and don't think about your pit." The optimistic person said, "Cheer up, things could be worse." The pessimistic said, "Get ready, things will get worse." But Jesus, seeing the man, took him by the hand and lifted him up out of that pit. Do you want to be made whole? Then take Jesus by the hand as he has extended it out to you. John, the 16th chapter and the 33rd verse says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Believe God, trust God, let go, take up your mat and walk. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.